Prague is sometimes romantically called the City of 100 Spires. You can probably count even more overlooking the capital from Prague Castle or hills offering a view of the Vltava Valley. Looking down on the city, the spires and towers rise up, and of course many of them have bells inside. Gone are the days when bells were a practical necessity, calling believers to prayer, measuring the time of the day, and announcing important news to the townsfolk. But there are still people who go up the church towers, pull the ropes, and perform the art of bell ringing. That has not changed in centuries. In the last two decades, in fact, the sound of bells has grown stronger. I began my tour of the bells of Prague in the heart of the old town, at the church of St. Havel. Just a few steps from a beaten sightseeing path between Wenceslas and Old Town Squares, the Baroque church, originally from the 14th century, is dedicated to a little-known saint, Havel, a popular patron saint during the Middle Ages. Jiří Mazal is the bell ringer at St. Havel Church.
We have the oldest bell in Prague here from 1455, made by an anonymous caster. It features an inscription in Old Czech and the reliefs of two saints. But today we'll hear another bell, St. Havel, the biggest bell we have. It was cast in 1506 by Jan Cantarius, who had his workshop here in the old town. The bell bears a Latin inscription. It weighs about 1,800 kilos, and it has perfect tuning in F1. It's really a well-made bell.
Downstairs, Jiří Mazal told me he always wanted to ring bells, ever since he was a boy.
I became a bell ringer because I've always liked bells since I was a kid. I would listen to bells in front of the church, especially when I visited my grandmother in Moravia. And when I was in Prague, I missed them because they did not ring them much during communism. After 1989, I was wondering what the problem was, so I started asking around and found out why. They were in very bad condition, sometimes they were about to fall down, and I also discovered there were not enough people to ring the bells that were still up in the towers after the war.
Communist authorities tolerated the Catholic Church, but their tolerance had limits. Any outreach to the community, such as bell ringing, was frowned upon. Today, Jiří Mazal is one of several dozen bell ringers who go up the stairs and ladders in church towers around Prague and beyond. He rings bells in St. Havel and the Teen Church, both in the old town.
So I went to the Our Lady before Teen and asked the priest why the bell there never rings. He said, I can't be standing in front of the altar and ring the bell up in the tower at the same time. So I offered to ring them, and he told me to go over here to St. Havel, which has three bells, and that's where I started.
Perhaps the most famous of Prague's bells is the one that used to greet newly crowned Czech kings at Prague Castle, and even rang when the first communist president Klement Gottwald was elected in 1948. It is a bell called Zygmunt and St. Vitus Cathedral. Zygmunt was cast in Prague in 1549 and weighs around 15 tons, which makes it the biggest bell in the country and one of the biggest in Europe. It's no longer used every day, and it takes up to 6 ringers to pull it off on special occasions such as Christmas and Easter. It was also rung after the terrorist attacks of 9/11. There is an old legend about Zygmunt. Whenever its clapper cracks, the land will be hit by a disaster. Whether you believe legends or not, the last time this happened was in 2002, and a few months later, Prague and other parts of Bohemia were affected by the worst floods in over a century. Zygmunt is one of four bells at the cathedral, together with Václav from 1542, John the Baptist from 1546, and Josef from 1602. Three other bells were confiscated during the First World War and were melted down to make guns. The church of Svatý Štěpán, or Saint Stephen, lies at the edge of Štěpánská Street in New Town, just several blocks of Wenceslas Square. Outside, I met leading Czech campanologist, or expert on bells, Radek Lunga. He says that compared to 20 years ago, bell ringing has seen a revival.
Před rokem 89 se nezvonilo pravidelně na tolika kostelích, nezvonilo se ani tak.
Before 1989, bells did not sound in so many churches, not as regularly and as often as today. When we started exploring Prague's towers in the early 1990s, many of them had been undisturbed for many decades. For instance, the bell at Svatýho Štěpána, St. Stephen, was not used for some 40 years. Not just irregularly, but not at all. Then, there were many churches where the bells were left to their own fate. Svatý Vojtěch, St. Adalbert, Salvator, and so on. So the towers were dormant.
Salvatora tam se taky moc nezvonilo. Čili byly to vlastně spící věže.
St. Stephen has only one bell, Štěpán. It was made in 1490 by a bellcaster in Prague's New Town. The bell does not in fact hang up in the church tower because the tower could not support more than 2 tons of the bell's weight. In the separate standing bell tower behind the church, we met the bell ringer, Vladimír Molík.
V roce 2002 jsme teda ten zvon hlavně utahli k hlavě, protože ten byl povolený.
In 2002 we fixed the bell, tightened it to the head because it was loose, and we placed the leather on the clapper. We also cleaned it and oiled it, and that was all. We have been ringing the bell every week since then, and nothing else needed to be fixed. Obviously, it was very well made. If you look at the rim where the clapper hits, you'll see it's very smooth and clean. This bell is also great to ring. Just one person can do it.
Hodnej i v tom smyslu, že se s ním dobře zvoní. Jeden člověk je schopen ho zvonit.
Started ringing bells back in the 1970s, and today works at a few other churches in Prague and central Bohemia with several colleagues. He says he taught himself how to ring bells.
Školením se neprochází, to se člověk učí tím, že k tomu, k těm zvonům.
There is no training, you learn it just by doing it yourself, trying to make it sound nice and regular. You also have to look for any technical problems there might be with the bell, so you have to be on guard. I'm here when the bell rings, and I can check for any problems, and I do the basic maintenance bell ringers usually do, that's all.
Tu běžnou údržbu, která teda zvoníkům přísluší, a to je všechno.
Radek Lunga, who began studying bells in the early 1990s, explains the sound of the bell after the last stroke says a lot about the quality of each bell.
Tohleto vyznívání, to je právě jedna z těch hudebních kvalit zvonů, na kterou se pozná ta.
Reverberation is one of the musical qualities of bells by which you can tell the overall sound character of each bell. What we have just heard was the short prime and the underlying octave. That was the humming. With this bell, the sound is really nice, long and voluminous.
Velmi, velmi pěkný, dlouhý a objemný.
St. Stephen was built in the 14th century by the Czech king and future emperor Charles IV as one of two parish churches for the newly founded new town. The mighty sound of the Štěpán bell fills the nearby streets of what today is a busy urban area. With Czechs being reputedly one of the most atheist nations in Europe, I was wondering whether there are ever any complaints from the people in the surrounding residential blocks. Campanologist Radek Lunga says, of course there are.
Stížnosti na zvonění samozřejmě existují a buď je to skutečně...
Of course, there are complaints about bell ringing. They are either provoked by the poor technical state of the bell or by electrical bell ringing, which sometimes is musically not very nice. But some complaints are also ideologically motivated. These are, in fact, attacks against the Catholic Church and Christian activities generally. However, any complaint can be dealt with in a conciliatory way. Ringing can start later in the day, for example. On the other hand, there is the Charter of Human Rights, which guarantees freedom of religion. And one of the ways the freedom is exercised is Catholic liturgy, and bell ringing is part of that.
Z tohoto titulu samozřejmě ty stížnosti se musí řešit.
Štěpán is the only bell left at the bell tower behind St. Stephen, although there used to be as many as 6. The wooden support frames, intact for several hundred years, held them on 2 floors. But all the berths, except one, are now empty. Radek Lunga explains.
Vidíte obrovskou zvonici a je tady vidět dobře to, na co byste se ptali.
You see the bell tower here is huge and you can very well observe here what you were asking about, the biggest losses of bells. There is room for 3 big bells and only one is here, the biggest of them. The rest were lost during both world wars in what we call requisitions. This bell tower was full until 1916 and the bell set was typical for the immediate neighborhood at that time. But in 1916, the requisition began, which was a brutal measure to provide raw material for the war industry. In this bell tower, only the biggest bell was saved.
Despite such heavy losses, some of the bells that had already been collected for scrapping were in the end saved.
During the Second World War alone, around 14,000 bells were confiscated on the territory of what today is the Czech Republic. That's a relatively high number because each church had 1 or 2 bells. So it was several thousand tons of bell metal. What happened was that here in Prague, hundreds of bells were collected near the river port and were waiting to be transported to Germany. That was around 1943 and 1944, when many of the arms factories had been bombed, had to stop production, and were no longer receiving raw materials. So the bells remained in the warehouses, where they were found in 1945 and returned.
Just a reminder, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, and our special program dedicated to the bells of Prague. The next stop on our tour with campanologist Radek Lunga was the Church of St. Norbert in Prague's neighborhood of Střešovice. The neo-Romanesque church was built in the late 19th century, but the original bells had to be replaced.
Tak tady v kostele svatého Norberta
Here in the Church of St. Norbert in Střešovice, the original set of bells from the late 19th century was confiscated. The church tower was empty until the end of the 1990s. In 2001, a 17th century bell from a church in central Bohemia was moved here, and in 2006, a new bell was cast. So now there are 2 bells here that are used regularly.
Kostele tady našel nové využití, protože se na něj pravidelně zvoní.
It might seem that bell ringing is easy. You just grip the rope and pull. In the Church of St. Norbert in Střešovice, bell ringer Jiří Dostal actually let me ring for a while. But before that, he gave me some advice.
Důležité při tom zvonění je s tím zvonem nezápasit.
When you're ringing a bell, the important thing is not to struggle with the bell, not to impose your own will onto it, but rather to go with it, catch its rhythm. If you do this, it comes back into your very soul.
To se vrátí potom zpět i do duše zvoníka,
zvoníkovi.
I'm not sure that was my case, but I asked Mr. Dostal how long it would take someone like me to learn the art of bell ringing.
Záleží na tom, jak viděl, jaké má vlohy, jak je k tomu disponován.
It depends on your talents and predispositions, but I would say if just somebody off the street were to take it up, they would be able to ring the bell before the Mass after 6 months without embarrassing themselves. The difficult part, though, is the initial stage, and even more difficult is stopping the bell. That's because the bell should sound regularly with strokes until the last moment and then fall silent. Likewise, just before you start ringing, the bell should be silent before the first stroke and then ring regularly. That's the trick of manual ringing, and that's also how it's different from electrical ringing.
Pokud se umí, od rozezvánění do zvánění motorového.
Radek Lunga is in fact a big promoter of manual ringing. In this respect, the Czech lands differ from the neighboring countries where most bell ringers have been replaced by electrical machines.
Ta česká tradice ručního zvonění skutečně můžeme ji nazvat.
The Czech tradition of manual bell ringing is unique because it has been performed continuously for several hundred years and has not been replaced by electrical ringing. In all neighboring countries, electrical ringing was adopted over the last 60 years, especially in the 1960s and 1970s. In Austria and Germany, for example, almost all bells are now rung using electricity and bell ringers are no longer needed.
Stejný trend vlastně pozorujeme už i na Slovensku.
The same trend has appeared in Poland, Slovakia and Hungary and also in France. In Bohemia and Moravia, many bells have been authentically preserved together with oak yokes and original forged clappers. Along with these elements, the tradition of manual ringing has also survived.
Originální způsob toho rozeznívání, to znamená ruční zvonění.
Most bells that make it into books or tourist guides are valued for their history and musical quality. But one church in Prague has a unique bell, although it's fairly modern and its sound is not particularly striking. It's a copy of the famous Liberty Bell from Philadelphia, made in 1918 to celebrate the foundation of independent Czechoslovakia. It hangs in the church of St. Anthony in the Prague area of Holešovice. The story of the bell is indeed remarkable. Mr. Lunga says it's not clear what purpose the bell was meant to serve once brought over from the United States or who paid for it.
V roce 1918 tady Republika Československá vznikla, ale
Czechoslovakia was founded in 1918, but several years later the bell ended up forgotten in Užhorod, which was then part of the country. We don't know what the bell was used for then. Only in 1928 the bell was rediscovered there and moved to Prague. But again, nobody had any idea about what to do with it. The original Liberty Bell was used at a town hall, and so it might have been viable to use the Czechoslovak copy at the old town hall. Nevertheless, it ended up in a warehouse.
This was probably the reason why the bell escaped destruction during the Second World War, but it only became to be used regularly more than 60 years after it was cast.
Then World War II broke out, during which bells were requisitioned, but the Liberty Bell was hidden and saved. After the war, the time was not right either for putting it into use, and the bell resurfaced in the mid-1950s in records of the Monument Preservation Institute. Its experts examined the bell and determined its tune. The institute also recommended the bell be hung in St. Antonín, St. Anthony Church in Holešovice, as all its bells had been requisitioned. The Liberty Bell was reportedly brought here to the church where they put it somewhere and didn't use it. It only happened in the mid-1980s that it was hauled up to the tower and put into use.
The Liberty Bell is somewhat hidden away in Holešovice, rarely sought out by anyone other than historians and bell experts. But let's come back to Hradčany next to Prague Castle, where thousands of tourists gather to listen to a special musical instrument, the Prague carillon. Up in the octagonal tower at the Loreto Church, above the clock, is a small tin-plated shack for the player. That's where carillonist Radek Rejšek told me about this unusual instrument.
This instrument has 27 bells, which were cast in Amsterdam by bell founder of Netherlands, Claude Frémy. This instrument was inaugurated in 1695 in August during Fest of Virgin Mary, and nowadays it's one of original carillon instrument in Czech Republic.
Every hour the instrument mechanically plays a song dedicated to Virgin Mary called We Greet You 1000 Times. But the instrument can of course be played manually from the shack. When the American avant-garde musician Frank Zappa first came to Prague in 1990, he sat down and played the carillon himself. When Frank Zappa arrived in Prague after the Velvet Revolution, it was possible once again to climb the stairs and ladders and play. Radek Rejšek says that even though he always wanted to play there, he couldn't get up on the roof during communism.
When I was about 14 years old, I visited with my parents Netherlands, and I liked very much carillon sound and bells. And it was my dream to play carillon. And this dream became true in 1989, when after changes of political situation in our country, was possible to play this instrument.
The bells of Prague will continue to sound throughout the city for years to come. A new generation of bell ringers are keeping the art alive, and new bells are still cast to replace the missing ones. So next time you come to the Czech capital, take a walk and enjoy the music flowing from hundreds of the city's spires.